Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no-apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. Mark's Gospel is a gospel of action. We are still in the first chapter, and we have already seen the baptism of Jesus, casting out demons, the calling of the first disciples, and teaching in the synagogues. In today's reading, we find out a key element of Jesus' ministry as he reveals what it is he came to do. It's a message that we can take to heart as we go out into the world to be the light of the world and to emulate Christ. So grab your Bible, turn it to Mark chapter 1, and prepare your heart and mind as we discover why he came. And now please take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and turn in them with me to the book of Mark. We're in chapter 1 of Mark. And if you're using the Pew Bible, it's found on page 35. At least the very bottom right corner of page 35 is where we begin. We're going to read verses 29 through 39. We've been looking at Mark since the beginning of the year. It was January 11th that we first looked at the baptism of Jesus in the world and the tearing open of the heavens. And on January 25th, we read about the calling of the disciples and how he asked them to leave their nets. On last week, we read about the authority of Christ, how he commands the demons with authority, how he taught with authority. And this week, we're going to talk about why Jesus came. We've been in this first chapter of Mark, and one thing that you find about Mark is that, as we will read throughout the year, Mark is a book of action. It's constant. It's just one activity after the other. Not so much about the things that Jesus said, like some of the other books, but definitely about what Jesus did. And so let us hear the word of the Lord for us this morning, beginning at verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. May God pour out his rich blessing upon this, the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we welcome you into our presence this day. We ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to come upon us, that we may hear your good words spoken in our ears, that we would receive into our hearts your wisdom and guiding presence always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's been a week, and I'm still in shock. And if you watched the game last week, you know that I don't pray during sport events. I don't. I feel like God has better things to do than, you know, help somebody score a touchdown. But man, they needed it. I couldn't believe it. I mean, the game was in hand. I mean, they were right there on the 1 yard line. They had 22 seconds left on the clock. They had a timeout left. Give it to Marshawn Lynch. Feed the beast. I mean, even the Patriots were saying, you know, go ahead, feed the beast. You know, I mean, come on. What are you going to do? You're on a 1 yard line. They passed the ball. And all this week, I've been listening to sports radio. I don't usually listen to sports radio because it's almost as negative as the news, especially in Philadelphia. But all this week, they've been talking about this call. The call that Pete Carroll made to pass the ball on a 1 yard line. On second down, with 22 seconds left, and one timeout remaining. I mean, the general consensus has been, and if you look at the internet, it basically says, it was the worst call in the history of all sports. Well, no, yeah, okay, I'm not even going to look at Margie this morning. I'm just going to look this way for the remainder of the sermon. You know, it was the worst call in the history of sport. I mean, you know, we deal in superlatives these days. You know, I got up this morning and there was no milk left and my shoelace broke. It was the worst day ever. You know, everything is the worst this. And I watched this movie. It was the worst movie I've ever seen. It was the worst movie ever. You know, it's the worst this and the worst that, but they might be right about this call. It might very well be the worst call in the history of sports. You know, but as bad a week as I've been having, I know that other people have been having bad weeks. This week we actually read about Peter's mother-in-law. You know, when we think about the disciples, we don't typically think of their families. But obviously they came from somewhere. They have mothers and fathers. Many of them were married, might have even had children. We know that Peter was married, Simon, who is later named Peter. In this narrative, he's called Simon. But Simon was married. He had a wife. And his wife's mother was ill. And, you know, we don't consider their families. You know, the 12 disciples were not just men that lived in a bubble. You know, they had lives outside of the ministry that they were called to. And we read about how when Jesus called to Andrew and Simon, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He called James and John. Later, he found Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. And Matthew was one of the most deplorable human beings in the area. That nobody liked him. He probably wasn't even welcome in the synagogues. Because he was a Jew, but he was exploiting Jews to line his own pockets in the name of Rome, their enemy. And so Matthew was not a very well-liked guy, and yet Jesus went up to this man sitting in his tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew got up, and he followed him. As bad as the call was last week, the call of Christ may very well be the best call ever. The best call ever. You know, and there are many of us who have accepted Jesus' call, and maybe we, like myself, said no for many years, kept saying no to that call. But ultimately, we say yes. And why? Because of who Jesus was, because of who Jesus is, because of what he does, in our lives today? What did he come for? Why did he come? The title of the message today is Why He Came. Why he came to the world. Why he, as I was saying in the children's sermon, why he humbled himself and allowed himself to be born, to be vulnerable, to be weak, and to be poor and humble. And not rich and lavish and protected and guarded, but meek and mild. Why did he come? All throughout the first chapter of the book of Mark, we have read stories already of his healing. Already. He's casting out demons. He takes Peter's mother-in-law by the hand without a word. He didn't say anything to her. He just went to her. He took her by the hand and he lifted her up and she was healed. And what was her response? Her response was to immediately get up and to serve the disciples. They had needs. They were human beings like everybody else. They had needs. They needed to eat. They needed to have a place to sleep. Her response to the healing was to get up and to serve. Jesus came to heal. He came to heal. All throughout the Bible, we read story after story of him healing the blind, giving sight to the blind, restoring hearing to the deaf, and making the lame to walk, and they leap for joy. He healed lepers, and he healed people of all kinds of diseases. He healed a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. He raised a dead girl back to life. He raised his friend who had been buried in the grave for 4 days. He raised him back to life. He healed people. He came to heal. And he also came to proclaim. He came to proclaim. You know, in verse 38, he says to the people who they were searching for him. They didn't know where to find him. He got up in the middle of the night to go and pray. And they wake up in the morning, where's Jesus? Where'd he go? They went looking for him and they found him and he was praying. And they said, people are looking for you. And what was his response? He said, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. That is why he came, to preach the good news, the message of repentance. He kept saying it over and over. Verse 15 tells us, he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe in the good news. Repent. Turn away from sin. Believe in the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. And was his message. And he preached it everywhere he went. When he was in the synagogue in his own hometown, he opened the scroll to Isaiah 60. And he read, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. To declare the good and acceptable year of our Lord. That's why he came. When he rolled up the scroll, he sat down and he said to the people there, this prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, he said, as I was reading it, it came true. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach the good news to the poor. To bring release to the captives. To raise up the oppressed. It's why he came. He came to proclaim. This is why I came, he told them. This is why I came. So let us go into the next towns. We're not going to just stay in one place. We're not just going to stay in Bethsaida where they were. But we're going to go to other towns and proclaim the news there. Everywhere he went, he proclaimed this news. And everywhere he went, the fame of him grew. People were talking about him. People were coming to him. We're told that when he healed Peter's mother at evening, when the sun set, people all around, they brought him all that were diseased and them that were possessed by devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. Everybody came out because they heard that there was this preacher who was healing people. And they brought the sick, they brought the lame, they brought the blind, they brought the deaf. They brought them to be healed of every affliction. And what does it say? Verse 34, he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils. Everywhere he went, the fame of him grew and grew. And he would go into a town and he would just be completely engulfed by the people. But that is why he came. He came to heal. He came to proclaim the good news. And finally, Jesus came to reconcile us to God. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. Jesus was the incarnate God. He was God incarnate, God born in human flesh. He was God, the Son. And yet, he went and took himself apart to another place. He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. I've often wondered what he prayed. But when we read the prayers of Jesus, we have a clue. Every time Jesus prayed, he was praying for us. He was praying for the people around him. He was praying for us. When he was with his followers, he said, you know, Father, let them be one as we are one, as you and I are one. Let them be one. He was praying for his followers. When he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And that prayer was not just for the people who were nailing him to the cross, but it was for us as well. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm in sin, I don't know what I'm doing. And then I feel guilty afterwards. You know? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he came. He came to reconcile us to God. And so when he got up in the morning and he went and he prayed for hours in the dark, just him and God, he was probably praying for us as well. The only time he ever prayed for himself was when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, Father, if there is any other way, he said, if this cup can be taken from me, let it be so. It's too much to bear, he said. The full brunt of the wrath of God, all for the entire world, laid upon my shoulders. It's too much to bear. The guilt of the sin of all the world, I can't bear it. Take it from me. But, he said, not as I will, but as you will. Not my will, but yours be done. The only time he ever prayed for himself was in that garden. And even then, he surrenders to the will of God. It's why he came. He came to reconcile us to God. He came to heal. He came to proclaim. And he came to reconcile us to God. The world was broken. The world was full of disease. It still is to this day. You only have to watch the news for a few minutes to realize just how broken the world is. You see the actions of other people's sins. And when we sin, we leave the wreckage of our sin behind us. We know the brokenness of the world, and Christ came to fix it. He came to heal it, to heal us physically, emotionally, and spiritually, heal us, to proclaim the good news, to tell us the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn away from your sin, repent, he said, and believe in the good news. Believe that God sent his Son into the world to bring us back to him. He came to reconcile us to God. He came so that we could have eternal life through him. That we could be adopted into the family of God through him. That we become co-inheritors of all of God's riches. That's why he came. It was for love that Christ came into the world, to reconcile the world back to the Father. That's why he came. And that's why we come to worship our God and King each Sunday as we do. Is there any greater love that has been shown to the world than this? That God the Father would send his one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. He didn't come for the righteous. He didn't come for the clean. He came for the least, the last, and the lost. Look around the sanctuary this morning. We are it. We are the reason Christ came. He came to heal, to proclaim, and to reconcile. So let us respond to God. Let us respond to his great love with passion and with zeal. To go forth into the world, to proclaim to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Let us pray. O great God, our loving Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave up his place at your side to walk along beside us, to heal us, to teach us, and to gather us back to you. What great love you have shown to us through your Son, O Lord. And what response could we possibly have except to give all our strength in praise and worship to you? We ask for your blessing, Father, to go forth into the world and to tell the good news that Jesus died for our sins and rose again. We have nothing to fear, for you are with us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pettertown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Now it's hard to believe, but the Lenten season is already upon us, and we have some exciting worship opportunities we'd like to share with you. Our Ash Wednesday service will be held at Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn at 7 p.m. on February 18th. And every Wednesday night during Lent, we will be participating in a community Lenten series at Union Presbyterian Church in Carneys Point. Each Wednesday, we will gather for soup and fellowship at 6 p.m. Then at 7 p.m., we will have a short devotional based on the Psalms. It promises to be an edifying and uplifting time, so come on out and join us. And if our message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.